desde Pod Bay 2A a un kilómetro de altura sobre el nivel del mar, en los estudios intergalácticos de La Pradera, alteramos tu locus cerúleo calentando tus sinapsis con rejuvenecedoras ondas de radio. Esto calienta tu cerebro unos sabrosos y tostaditos 365 grados, manteniendo la avalancha de estatismo fuera de tu cabeza. Lo sienten, funciona, lo sienten. Randy, ¿lo sientes tú?
Hugo, mi amigo, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, ¿y tú, Randy? Randy England.
That's me up here. What are
you
about?
Feeling it, the whole thing?
I'm feeling the whole thing. And, you know, you sound like you're in the same room with me, and you've got to be 1,000 miles away or more. I don't know how far it is.
This is
Missouri.
This is Hugo. This is Hugo, the jet cockatoo. Talking from Mexico City, in sunny Mexico City, in the valley, up high in the mountains, but still warm.
Yes, but you were telling me we were over 100 degrees here today in Jefferson City, Missouri, and you were at 77.
Oh my God! Yeah, toasty 77 degrees. Yeah, that helps in the mountains. Yeah, having a good time here in Mexico City and trying to fetch a bit of liberty, as we all are, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that you introed the Fiends today in Spanish, and there has to be a reason for that.
Well, yes, you know, there's first of all, I'm original from Venezuela, and I'm calling from Mexico. I've lived here for 20 years, but you know, there's a bunch of people in the U.S. or the colonies, as some people say, that speak Spanish. So, you know, if you're trying to listen to some English talk radio and, you know, practice your English, because maybe your first language is Spanish, you can get both things. You can get the English education and the liberty education at the same time.
That's right.
Maybe you're driving, you're working right now, maybe, who knows? And so you can get some Fiends, some liberty, and some English at the same time. We like you to be here. We're open border guys.
Welcome.
I don't know. Randy, are you an open border guy?
Borders guy? Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I like that.
That's awesome. Although, you know, people got to move wherever they can work.
Wherever they can work and wherever they can live. I guess there'll always be the issue of if you could cross, say, the Rio Grande without having to ask anyone's permission, you still have to have somewhere to go, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. Somebody to, I don't know, maybe rent an apartment for you or rent a house. Yeah. You know, the whole voluntary thing.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. And speaking of work, trying to find work, and it's getting harder, increasingly harder in the U.S. And we have an article to talk about that, Randy. And its title is nearly 30% of workers in the U.S. need a license to perform their job. And it says, it is time to examine occupational licensing practices. You know, and I was, you sent this article to me before, and I was reading it. It's quite alarming, you know. One of the things it says is, in the 50s, approximately 5% of the jobs needed licensing. You know, the slip you need in order to be able to work from the government on whatever you want to work or you like to work. And right now we're at 30%, which is, I don't know, I find it alarming. What about you, Randy?
Well, yeah, the license is basically you have to have government permission to do a job. And what do you know what purpose does it, did it say in here what purpose it serves to have licensing? What is the point of it?
Well, they kind of start with the obvious. It says when hiring an electrician, it's important to be able to figure out whether the person knows what they're doing. Selecting an amateur might send your house up in flames. And I don't know. I think that's what most people think when they hear of professional licensing. You know, there's got to be some kind of some amount of security or safety. You got to be able to. Without doing extensive research to find out whether the person you want to hire knows what he's doing or what he or she is doing, and that it's not dangerous for them to work in whatever they're trying to work.
But it goes on.
I think that's what people.
Mm-hmm. It says when they. It's. I'm looking at it. It says when the electrician says he's an expert, you don't have to take his word for it. And they're not, there's a period at the end of that sentence, but it seems the reason you don't have to take his word for it is because the government is telling you that he's good. And I don't...
Well,
I don't,
yes.
I think that when I... And you said, you know, you don't have to do extensive research. I don't know. I might do some research if I had a pretty good-sized job. I kind of eat those Amazon.com reviews up when I'm looking for a new TV or something or a camera. I check them out carefully. And I think that I can do a lot better researching my own camera or my own plumber than just some jerk with a license who happened to pass the minimum standards for the plumbing college or whatever it was he had to go through to get the license, or the electrician's college. I don't know what it is. But I was, one thing that I did read about this is that the purpose is supposed to be guaranteeing quality, or at least assuring you that this person meets a certain quality standard, and an electrician. And I don't think it was in this article, but I do remember another article where a study was done as to the rates of electrocution in states that have highly regulated electricians as opposed to states that have none or less regulation or licensing requirements. And it seems that when you have high licensing requirements, there are few people that are able to get into the profession. The prices go sky high. Lots of people cannot afford to use, say, a professional electrician, and so they do it themselves. So which state has the highest rates of electrocution? The ones with the most competent, highly trained electricians.
Because yeah, we talk about those things themselves. That's true. We tend to talk about those things all the time. You know, people interested in liberty. And it's unintended consequences. You know, just because the law says it's going to guarantee whatever X, Y, or Z, it doesn't necessarily do it. And there's a lot of implications that, you know, bureaucrats are just people. And they won't be able to predict everything. You know, you mentioned the magic word there, which was guarantee. And when I talk with people about these topics, sometimes I take them up to task for their use of that word. You know, if the state or the government guarantees that my house will not go up in flames, then what happens if my house does go up in flames?
You'll find,
I don't know,
that
do
you,
I get paid?
No, you'll find out that you didn't have a guarantee. You didn't have anything.
Yeah, that's precisely. That's, you know, words have meanings, and guarantee means if something goes wrong, there's some kind of retribution or consequence, you know?
They wouldn't say that they gave a guarantee, and I think when I use that word, I probably shouldn't have. It's some sort of assurance that this person has met certain quality standards, has certain educational standards, has paid their plumber's dues, and have gone through so many plumbing education credits this year, or whatever, plumbers or electricians. The only thing I'm really familiar with is that I'm a lawyer, and I know what they put me through every
yes.
year to let me keep my license, and it mostly involves paying money to people. And pretending that I'm paying attention at continuing education classes, or at least being present so that I can get the credits for it.
Yeah, and I think you didn't mention about the apprenticeship times, and they're pretty long, you know. And that, you know, that's free work for the master electrician, and I mean, free work that the apprentice has to do for the master electrician or whatever the company that's employing them, at lower wages or no wages at all for training. That's pretty convenient for them too.
Well, actually, for lawyers, I think that would be an improvement to the way that we get our licenses. To get a license in most states in the United States, you have to go to an American Bar Association approved law school, and the American Bar Association worked long and hard to have that put into law in almost every state, that you had to go to one of their approved schools to even take a bar exam in a state. And of course, the final coup, the way that they sealed that the doom on that issue, was after World War II, the American Bar Association got the U.S. government to deny veteran student loans to anything but ABA approved law schools, and that was the death knell for most of the non-ABA accredited schools. And that's the way it is. But my point there is that there's no apprenticeship of any kind. I think there would be lawyers would probably be much better ready to serve clients if they instead of the law school they did an apprenticeship, and then if they wanted to have the bar exam or something, I guess that would prove some level of knowledge, I suppose, that you knew about the subjects that you were tested on. But yeah. Once again, I don't like the idea of the government saying you have to do it. I think it's the difference between licensing and certifications. Voluntary certification.
Totally, yes.
Licensing is never voluntary. Certifications can be voluntary. And people would just, they would get a certification if their public wanted them to, if it seemed to make them more valuable, if people trusted the certifications that said that Randy England was just a grade A, class one criminal lawyer, and I would feel that it was so valuable, I'd do what it took to get that certification because people would come to me.
Going on to the root of the issue is there is a very, very, very clear difference in morality. You know, it's something is the pursuit of a good. You know, I'm trying to find out whether this person knows at all what he's trying to work in. And the other is avoidance of a bad. If I will get fined or imprisoned or arrested if I don't have this piece of paper, I don't pay this amount of money. So I think we should be looking towards having more certification, and you know, liberty people should be thinking about that. Having more certification, less licensing, less coercion, and more market at all. You know, like precisely the market we're probably going to in a couple minutes there. Randy England.
And Hugo, we'll be back. Let's go to
we'll
the
be
market.
Back. Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and this is Randy England. We're back, and we were talking about, before we left, talking about occupational licensing. And when I was a kid, there was the experience kind of my brothers and me being hauled every month to the private home, the house of the lady, middle-aged lady named Mrs. McAfoos, who she was just an ordinary lady. If you saw her on the street, you wouldn't think that she was a black market barber and a career criminal, but that's what she was, because she wasn't licensed to cut hair, and every Saturday once a month, just one time a month, like it wasn't that often, but every mother in my neighborhood would pack up their sons, and we would go over to Mrs. McAfoos's house. And on the way over, we all got a little lecture that, hey, remember, never tell anybody that Mrs. McAfoos cuts your hair. She could get into a lot of trouble. Of course, we never, ever told, because she didn't have a barber's license. But every Saturday, Mrs. McAfoos, she'd cut 10 heads an hour. She cut all day long at 50 cents a head. And back in that day, that was great money. And of course, it was in her house. She had no overhead, right? And Hugo and...
Yeah, and you know, so and, much crime.
Well, yeah, and I doubt that there was a single father, any of our fathers that lived in that neighborhood made five... $5 an hour in 1964, because that's when it was. That was really, really good money, and she was making that out of her living room with no overhead and I assume no taxes. You know, barbering without a license.
God bless her.
It was a crime then. You know, it's a crime now. Today, I know, you know, in my state, and I guess in most of them, it carries a jail sentence. And criminals like Mrs. McAfee's probably still walk the streets, and people don't even know they're walking, you know, next to someone who should be in a prison uniform.
I'm so grateful I can get my hair cut for about $6 right here in Mexico City by a unlicensed and albeit legal or at least tolerated hairdresser here, a barber. It's pretty free down here.
Well, that's something I did want to ask you about, and that is how much licensing do you have there? I mean, you read earlier that in the United States, we've got 30% of every job cannot be done without the permission of the government.
Well, I'm pretty sure numbers are. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the numbers in the U.S. were around 5% in the 50s, and I think we're probably down there still here in Mexico. And I think that's a good thing. We have licensing, of course, for doctors and lawyers and some kinds of engineers. But it's just, you know, following, there isn't this kind of guild system where the rest of the engineers have to approve the engineer or the bar for the lawyers or the AMA for doctors in the U.S. So here in Mexico, you go to school and you pass your, you know, your exams and your education. You do now a year of slave work that goes on for doctors, at least. I call it slave work. They call it social service. And then you get your license, and you can work as a doctor. But for everything else, all the way from electricians, all the way to construction workers, to, I don't know, hairdressers, people who do nails, you know, paint nails and many crafts, you don't need any kind of licensing. You know, that keeps costs low for us, too. I've heard it can be rather expensive to have your hair cut in the U.S. or many people do it themselves.
How about hair braiders and that do not need to have a license in Mexico?
Not at all. That's completely in the open free market, and you know, you can get them if you go to the beach here in not in Mexico City, but near Mexico City, about a 3-hour drive. You can. There's girls who start braiding hair for tourists, and you probably if any of our listeners have been to Mexico, they probably have seen those girls. You know, and there's two effects here. They can work. You know, that's what it's called. Some people call child labor, and they learn some work ethics from. They're probably 12, and they're already braiding tourists' hair, and that's not either exploitive or, you know, hard work or keeps them from school. Nothing like that. It's just honest work and service attitude. You know.
So if I come to Mexico, I'm still going to have a license.
Yeah. If you go to, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, but you can always braid hair. I don't think you'd be too interested.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Freedom Fiends are back. And that, what you're hearing right there is the Wampus Cat, Randy England. Hi, Randy. And this is Hugo from Mexico City, the
Hi,
Jet
Hugo.
Cockatoo. And we were talking and before we went to the market, we were talking about licensing laws and occupational licensing in the US and elsewhere. Being from Mexico, I had a few things to say about that. And, I've noticed the days of training and the requisites they have for each profession or trade in each state are really disparate and they don't make any sense. For example, in Michigan, it takes 1,460 days of education to become a sports trainer. Which, you know, people can get injured and you need some kind of, medical knowledge. And, you're pretty much a teacher in sports. But then you see that you need only 26 days to become an emergency medical technician, which I was, when I was about 19. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of training and people can die. So why the difference? What do you think that is, Randy?
Well, because
does it make any sense for you?
The idea of protecting the public is only what they put out there for the public to hear. And they have other motives, of course, for occupational licensing. I mean, the main purpose of occupational licensing, boy, I'm going to trip over that every time I say it. Licensing, I could just say. The main purpose of it is to limit competition and to raise the cost to the consumer. But, of course, that means raise the income to the practitioner. But that is how every one of these, I've never heard of one where the reason why the state or the government has enacted laws requiring a license to be a doctor or practice law or whatever the thing is, it's always asked for by the members of the profession itself. It isn't consumers calling up their representative and saying, you got to do something about those doctors or those lawyers or those architects. It's always the lawyers who are coming to the legislature to say, hey, let's have some laws to keep people out of this. I mean, back in the 19th century, during that entire time and into the 20th century, there were no laws in the United States at all about practicing law outside of a courtroom. I mean, if you drafted wills or trusts or contracts or any of those things, you could do that to your heart's consent. You didn't have to have any lawyers. If you worked for a big company and they needed somebody to draft legal documents, you just did it. It wasn't anybody else's business. The only person at risk was you that was using it or your employer that was asking you to do it. You didn't have to be a lawyer, and nobody dreamed it would be anybody's business but yours and, say, your employer's, that you would draft these legal documents or give legal advice in that. Now, courts have always considered themselves having some authority to say who can come and appear before them in their court. And I guess if I was a judge and had my own private court and somebody gave me enough trouble, maybe I'd throw them out too. I don't know. But it was not always that. It was not always that way that they controlled anything outside the courts. Only in the 20th century did the bar associations get enough power that they finally made it a crime for anybody to draft a will or convey real estate or something like that, unless they were a lawyer. And that's
really counterintuitive. That's really, people out in the street will never think that that should be punishable by, fine or jail.
Jail?
Writing a document, a document for somebody else.
And the crazy thing about it, I don't know how it is in other states. It may be the same. It probably is the same in some. But in my state, in the state of Missouri, if you are convicted of practicing law without a license, the person who hired you, see, it's not a crime to hire a fake lawyer, okay? The person who hired you, you have to pay them triple damages for whatever their fee was, even if you did a great job for them. You could draft a perfect trust document for somebody, they'd be completely happy. They can get their document, then call the bar and report you. And if you'd paid $1,000 for that document, the lawyer would have to pay you $3,000 plus whatever punishment the court wanted to give him for the crime. So, you know, we don't want to mess around with that.
We call that a cartel, right? You know, in every other situation.
It's a monopoly, exactly, a state, a legalized monopoly that it makes it a crime for anyone else to participate in that craft or that business unless they have that government permission, which is the sheepskin on the wall. And there's, you know, there's no justification for it.
I think there isn't, and usually, even though the purpose that they state, when I say is it's they, it's usually the government, they say they want to help the public, and it's usually the other way around, like most things that are done with force. I remember an example that's been talked about doctors in the first part of the 20th century. You know, the best doctors were Jewish doctors from Vienna, from Austria. They were running away from Europe, and they wanted to go to America or to come to America, even though I'm not there right now, to come to America and be doctors there. You know, they had the best experience, they had the best techniques, and they were better educated. And the whole licensing thing and the whole excuse for creating the AMA was to keep those very, very good doctors from practicing in the U.S. So it's usually just the other way around, preventing people from experiencing the kind of service I don't know if they deserve or they want, they can pay, whatever it is. We have to keep you from receiving that kind of service. And it works the same way for a lot of things, you know.
It sure, you know, and with the medical doctors, there were more reasons behind that. I think in the mid-1800s and that, by 1850, I think most states had completely repealed all medical licensing laws. I mean, usually you could just go to any medical school, and there were lots of them, and they were cheap, and you could go through them and hang out your shingle, and if you were a good doctor, people would come to you. And, you know, that was the way it was done. But during that period of time, you also had a lot of these, I don't know what they call, alternative medicines that were coming on, you know, chiropractic. And what's the one that's related to that? I forget the name.
There were a lot, homeopathy?
Homeopathy. And, you know, boy, the names of them escape me. But there were many alternative treatments in that. And the thing that was ironic about it is that allopathic medicine, which is the kind we have now, allopathic medicine back in the, you know, first half of the 19th century and coming into the, you know, in the second half of it, was really, it was kind of bad. I mean, they had all kinds of, I mean, they were still doing bloodletting back in colonial times and that, and they gave doses of...
They would poison you.
Poison, heavy metals they would give you. It was really horrible, a lot of the things they did. And here came these alternative practitioners coming in, and they were saying, well, you know, it's really important that you have proper diet and personal hygiene. You need to be clean, you need to bathe, you need to wash, clean up your wounds, have bed rest, fresh air, sunshine, you know, stuff like that that actually we've learned that are very, very important things. And the thing that is so dirty about the medical profession back then was that as they were coming in to have licensing laws passed to push out all of these what they called quacks, you know, and these other alternative medicines, they were also recognizing that these alternative therapies had a lot of good stuff in them, and they took everything good from them and then slammed the door in their face, and that's what we got. And they got all of these other medical schools shut down. Same thing, the doctors did the same thing with the lawyers. They're no better, they're no worse. It was just a scam, yeah, by the members of the profession to keep others out. And they succeeded, you know, in spades.
I think there's also this elitism with the medical profession that they refuse to have their services or I was going to put quotes around that, but no, their services going to the market, and you know they some of them think it, you know, it's almost like an art or a really really complicated craft. It cannot be automated. It cannot be delegated. You know, the doctor is this wise man. They're administering health, and the natural course of the market would be to commercialize those things. You know, you could just go into a Walmart, and next to the cashiers, there could be just a doctor there or a nurse practitioner, and give you something and do some kind of test to you, and they wouldn't like that to happen, because you know people want to have artisans don't want mass production, and that's if the artisans had gotten their way the same way the doctors did, we probably have very expensive clothing and very expensive paper and very expensive all that's produced in mass would still be at the level of artisans, and we don't want that for lawyers, we don't want that for doctors either. You know, let the market work.
Let it work. Yeah, but nobody wants the competition. I mean, same thing, you know, I was picking on lawyers and dentists. I mean, doctors. But you got dentists too, and you know dentists. I mean, they fight because they don't want dental hygienists to come in and whiten teeth, you know, clean teeth, unless it's under the supervision of a
dentist.
This
is the Fiend Phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system, or furries. I am Michael Dean, and I am interrupting you.
Hi.
Is this a test, Michael, or is this a
Michael.
Real interruption?
Yeah. It's all good. I got some unlicensed dental work done in the land of Hugo in Mexico.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got some cheap dental work done in, where was it, Tijuana. In a, it was like, you know, I could see this sign said dentista or whatever the word is in Spanish in the window. I went in. It's a nail salon. There's one lady in there. She's up front, you know, with her nail salon smock on. And she goes in the back and becomes the dentist and puts me in the chair.
All right. Can you finish cheap, it man. After the break, man?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Wait, a filling just fell out. Okay.
Don't choke well. On it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
No! Is that Spanish for meow?
No, it's cockatoo.
Cockatoo, I see. So y'all are my fiend ladies out on the corner making my money for me, bringing me my pay. Yep. Because I asked Randy why he doesn't have any employees as an attorney. What did you say, Randy?
So I can keep all the money.
Yeah, I was like, that's how I am with the fiends, and you guys are my ladies out on the corner. Bring me my pay.
Yeah, but I don't have
having your sweet, sweet words out there on the corner.
I can't find a paralegal who will work for what fiend co-hosts work for.
Yeah, yeah. You get an intern, but they'd be drunk probably.
Could get an intern, yes.
Yeah, maybe if you you could start a podcast about or a radio show about lawyering, and then you probably get a few interns to, you know, yak about it.
The lawyer that my wife works for sometimes does a show, does like a 2-minute law thing on the local radio station. Not the one that the Fiends are on, but like the good one, the big station in town. Like we're on the 1,000 watt station in town. He's on the 50,000 watt station in town. But the thing is, it's kind of funny. They basically reach as many people because they both reach the 56,000 people that live in Casper. And outside of that, it's like, yeah, the station we're on doesn't reach very far outside of Casper, and the other station does, but the other station is reaching like 50,000 sheep, literal sheep, not people who are sheep, but like sheep. Like there's nothing, you know, in the hundreds of square miles more that station reaches, there aren't many people. So we win.
So they're getting 90% of their listeners from their first one.
From the first 1,000 watts.
1,000 yes. watts, and the other 49 yes. are just blowing out there, heating the grass, I guess.
Irradiating the sagebrush, making my dental fillings hurt, yeah.
Do you really have sagebrush there, like the wind blows it along the prairie and everything like that on TV?
That's different. That's tumbleweeds. We have those too.
Oh, tumbleweeds.
Those are
yes,
two different
yes.
things. But yeah,
we have tumbleweeds.
We have sagebrush everywhere. I'm very allergic to it, it turns out. You know, I have my appointment tomorrow to get my allergy test for food. I had it before for like grasses and stuff, and tomorrow I have it for food to find out.
Hope if you're not allergic to that.
I want to find out. I hope I am. I hope there's something I've been eating every day that I'm allergic to that I can stop.
Well, it's rather easy to avoid, right?
Yeah, it'd be easier to avoid than like grass pollen in the air. So so I had to also cut out MSG because in 3% of asthmatics, and I happen to be one of those 3%, it can trigger asthma attacks, and it's in everything. It's even like naturally in like Parmesan cheese. So I can't eat pizza, can't eat Chinese food, all these things I can't eat yummy cheeses.
No soy sauce
soy sauce has it naturally.
Ramen,
yeah. So not that I eat ramen now that I can afford not to, but yeah. So tonight's Freedom Fiends is going to be called Freedom Fiends now with less MSG. So if anybody has an idea for an image to use for that, you can email it to me.
There was no MSG, none used in the preparation this program.
No cats were harmed. And yeah, so I had to give up everything, man. The road gets more narrow, as they say in your Bible there, Randy. As I get older, like I had to give up, you know, first 20 years ago, I gave up drugs and alcohol. And then I gave up about a year after I got married. I gave up sleeping around. My wife and I gave up sleeping around with other women. And then I gave up, you know, I had to give up cats for my asthma. And now I'm having to give up like yummy food and I had to give up cigarettes and vaping. So like what's left? Coffee?
Are you allergic to women?
No. What, have okay. one as a pet? No, I said in passing. I said that in passing. I said like, you know, about a year after I got married, my wife and I gave up womanizing. So
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not going to ask you to explain that yeah. any further.
I listened to this. I heard that
free.
Story before. Yeah.
The
so
podcast.
Yeah. So we're on radio, so probably you know not too many yeah, details.
No, that's enough. So yeah, man.
And I'm 38, and I already had to leave some of the yummy food. I got third world women. Sick. Yeah, well, no, not that, but just the food, the spicy food, because I got really, really sick. Third world sick for like 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm eating. 20 years later after I got to Mexico. So he has a grudge.
I told you that I used to shoot heroin with and be really good friends with Edgar Ivan Carranza, who was the grandson of the guy that was president of Mexico for a month?
Yeah, he wrote the Constitution, so... Yeah. Ugh.
Well, his grandson yeah. was a bisexual heroin addict who died of AIDS and was a good friend of mine. He was a roadie and a dancer for my band Bomb.
Good guy. Ooh. Miss him. Small world.
Groovy.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh. Eddie, Market. Miss you more Cuckoo. Than all the rest. All right.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? and we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario, en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial, en el satélite artificial LIPAR 2017, en la región de Alpha Centauri. Y les recuerdo, los Freedom Fiends están cubiertos por una licencia BIPCOT No Gov, que permite que todo el mundo lo reuse excepto los gobiernos. So this is Hugo from Mexico City, and with me is Randy England right here. Hello, and Randy, how's your Spanish going?
My Spanish is very limited. Amigo.
Yeah. Nice. You say hola amigo, como mi amigo, cómo estás?
Cómo estás?
Well, that was perfect. That was perfect. So.
Oh, I got another one. Buenas noches.
How about awesome?
But what
that's cool. Over,
I shouldn't say that till the end of the show, though, should I?
That's okay. You can say in Spanish, "good evening" and "good night" is pretty much the same.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah, it's the same. Yeah,
leaving to say.
Yeah, I don't have to be leaving to say good night. No. You can just come into the party and say buenas noches.
Buenas.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, but probably your Spanish is much better than my French. So, I took 2 years and I don't remember anything. I can read somewhat read in French, but no.
I'm getting ready to bone up on my French because I'm going to Pork Fest in a week. It's a week from Sunday, I think.
Oh,
and, pretty excited.
I'm so jealous.
Happening. I got an email today. This is big news for Pork Fest. Anybody that is thinking of going, this could tip you over to be there. Apparently, in past years, there's been a big problem with not having enough showers, and so they're hiring in a company that has shower trailers. They have 18-wheelers filled with showers, and they're going to increase their capacity from 22 showers up to having 16 more. And people are pretty
pumped
about it.
Don't you just love the market? You know, who'd have thought of that? You know, just an 18-wheeler full of showers. That's just awesome. That's a market in action.
Half of the trailer is for men, half the trailer is for women. So it's not going to be quite as much fun or excitement as you might think, but still.
Well, it can be perfect. You know, yeah, it can be perfect.
if you're dirty and stinky enough, you'd be pretty excited about that. And I think if you were a VIP, which means a very important porcupine, you get to use the showers for free instead of paying $2. So
I went for a couple of years ago, and I showered for free. I remember that. And you know, we should say that for any Liberty listeners out there, if you're into the whole Liberty ideas and free markets and personal freedom, you should probably try and go to Pork Fest. It's a Porcupine Freedom Festival, and we'll be having a live transmission of the Fiends from Pork Fest with the hosts you already know and love. Like MK is going to be there, and you're going to be there, Randy. Who else is going to be there?
Jim Babb is going to be there. Davi Barker is going to be there. I think Diana Kyler is going to be there. And who else am I not thinking of? Derek J. Freeman will be there, of course.
Wow. So we have...
He lives in New Hampshire. And I'm still probably getting someone. I apologize to you, whoever you are. But yeah, I think we're going to try and be on every night. I know I'm going to be on the first night, which is the Sunday night. And I'll try to kick in on another one, too. And it should be fun. I've been to Pork Fest. I'm really excited about it.
I went a couple of years ago. It was a great experience, and you know, you'll be bothering the people who are trying to sleep in the media room, and that's gonna be fun too. There's some sleep. People there trying to sleep.
They'll be sleeping there while we're trying to broadcast. Yeah, and we broadcast from 1 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock Eastern time, so that's pretty hardcore, even to be there.
Even to be there. You know what there's a lot of in Porkfest, at Porkfest? Macho, what we call here in the Finns, macho libertarian flash. And there's going to be a lot of that, you know?
And what would you, how would you define that?
Well, that's, well, you know, it's probably in the Finns glossary, which is at freedomfiends.com, and it's probably in the Finns glossary. But, you know, sometimes we libertarians try to say things in the most outrageous way possible.
Outrageous.
So if... Yeah, yeah. If some people say, you know, moderate conservatives or libertarians say, I think some drugs should be legal, or the punishment should be less harsh. We say we'd like to have all drugs being legal and have heroin vending machines out in the parks as long as they're privately owned and operated.
Now,
that's a bit of
one thing, though, Hugo. To say that the drugs should be legal is not macho libertarian flash. Macho libertarian flash is the second thing you said. That's when you say that I think that heroin should be sold in vending machines. That's the flash.
Yeah, that's flash.
The legality,
that's the flash,
is just garden variety kind of square guys like me, okay? And I'm only say that because people tell me that's what I am, but I'm with
you're
the,
not
I'm, sure I am. I got four kids and I'm old, so I believe that they should be illegal for many reasons. But you know, it's your business what you would put in your body if you weren't hurting anybody else, and that's the bottom line. I don't feel like I have morally have the right to tell you what to do when you're not hurting anyone, maybe but yourself, and that would be your business. But but sometimes I think, though, that when people, you know, use the macho libertarian flash, that I don't know when they're kidding and when they're serious. So, are you serious?
Well, I think we should have some heroin in vending machines, but you know, we'd have to have room for some kind of controls, people, voluntary controls. I was thinking, I'm an electronic systems engineer by trade, and so I could design one of those machines. And whenever you're given the responsibility to moderate your own macho libertarian flash, you'd say, okay, let's say I put in some kind of control. If you don't wait, I don't know, maybe 100 pounds, you wouldn't be able to get the heroin.
Okay, so you're going to have a scale that you have to stand on as you're in front of the machine, right?
Yeah, you know, yes, a scale. You know, they have a scale, those kinds of scales here in Mexico. Probably they have them in the U.S. too. So it's a scale, and you put your arm into this piece, takes your blood pressure.
Oh, so you have to not only weigh, you can only buy it if you weigh this much, and if you can get your arm into this higher hole in the machine, right?
So. Yeah, exactly like the machines that take your blood pressure, but instead of taking something, the machines would be putting something in. You know, we could come up with a catchy name like Hero Shot, or I don't know, some kind of, you know, the marketing guys will figure it out.
Well, you know, the one thing, and you could use the scale not only to tell how big you were or how old you were or something, but you could use the scale to determine the dosage, right?
That's right, yeah.
And while your arm was in there, you might as well just stick it, you know, and be done with it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You stick the needle inside the blood pressure arm piece, and that's it. Well, you know, we always do it half jokingly. And
I do it completely jokingly. I'm one of those people who I'm for the legalization, but I honestly would not like to see. I would not like to see any heroin sold. I honestly would not like to see it
at all.
At all. Not one drop of it do I want to see. I'm just not willing to throw people in prison and destroy their lives even worse than they're already destroying them to do it. And, you know,
that's the whole thing, you know, voluntary interactions versus violence. And somebody making a bad decision is never made better by putting them in a cage.
No, it's not. It's not. But sometimes, you know, you read things and libertarians sometimes kind of get the bad rep that they're for things that a whole lot of people, maybe even the majority of people, think are bad things. Like, okay, how many people think that racism or racists is a good thing? Okay, well, most people would say, I don't like that. You know, I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. I said, I may even have some racism in myself, but I hate it, and I hate it everywhere, and I do not like racists. But then again, you say, yes, but would you punish them, you know, with fines or jail or something like that? And they go, well, no. So it's kind of macho libertarian flash to say, oh, I think racists are great. I think you should have a racist on every street corner. Well, nobody would say that, but that's the same thing.
No one would say that.
But that's the same thing as heroin in a vending machine. It's kind of like, to be a real libertarian, you need to have these vices actually happen rather than simply allowing them. Whereas, you know, plenty of people, and depending on where you are on the spectrum, you know, I'm not approving of drunks. I really don't approve of prostitutes. I think that that's not really a good thing. And pimps, drug pushers, drug addicts, racists. How about religious bigots? Does anyone like religious bigots? You know, I don't either.
No, I don't think. But yeah, most people don't like those things.
But I would allow all of those things. I would allow blackmailers. I would like people that slander. I mean, I would allow slander and libel, and there would be no remedy for that except nonviolent remedies like shunning them or boycotting them.
You just like respond back with words. The same way they attacked you, quote, attacked you.
You know, what's another thing? I like people who are Scrooges and they would never contribute to any kind of charity or help the poor. I disapprove of that, but I wouldn't dream of trying to force them to do it or punish them for not doing it.
So you wouldn't be out there trying to redistribute the wealth.
Well, no, but there's this long, long list of vices. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but long list of vices that I do not approve of, and yet I would not punish them. And I'm wondering who's the real libertarian in a way? Are you a libertarian because you love marijuana, you wish it was legal, and so you go around saying, I'm a libertarian, when you're just saying, I just want something to be legal that I think is good? I think maybe I'm more of a libertarian than you are because I may actually disapprove of that drug, but I'm still perfectly happy to let you do your own business and leave you alone to live your own life.
It is libertarian to resist that temptation of using violence against the things you disapprove of.
Exactly.
That's the essence of being a libertarian, rejecting violence, whether even when it suits your ends or the world you like to see.
An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Cuckoo! Woo!
Freedom Fiends, and we're back from the market. Man, we love the market. Don't you love the market, Randy?
I love to sell something anytime that I can.
Yeah, you know, people hear about things that they probably need, or maybe they don't need. They can tell somebody else. Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about the market. You have 18 wheelers full of showers in libertarian camp. So, yeah, we dig the market. So, we were talking before about the macho libertarian flash, and there's a difference that some libertarians are always emphasizing, that libertarianism is not the same as libertinism. Libertarians are not necessarily libertines. And there's a great article by Walter Block. If you Google it, you'll probably find it. Libertarianism, libertinism. He says, you know, it sounds like librarianism too, but it has nothing to do with that. And we're talking if people are interested in alternative lifestyles and maybe things that might harm themselves, only themselves, they might be libertines. But the whole thing about being a libertarian, being for liberty, is resisting the temptation to use force against those things you disapprove of. And I don't know, do you know many libertarians who are also libertines? Randy?
Well, maybe, sure. You know, everyone does. Well, yeah, that's one issue. You know, someone who is a drug user is going to be seen as a libertine, particularly among people that, you know, have a real strong disapproval of that. I mean,
teetotalers.
I tend to look at drugs like that more as I do in alcohol, in the sense that, look, I can understand why you could use it and it wouldn't bother you because you moderate the use and it hasn't reached a point. I think many people would rather think of abuse of alcohol or drugs where it's reached a point where it's messing up your life or the lives of your loved ones or something. And at that point, whether you realize it or not, it's a problem. And so,
people make the distinction between use, abuse, and addiction, right? There's a difference between those three.
Well, yeah, and addiction, I assume, would certainly be an abuse. Would that be fair or not? I don't know.
Yeah. It goes after abuse, I would say. And I think I don't know. We're both pretty clean people in the sense that we don't consume any drugs, and I practically don't do any alcohol. So it does, you know, our macho libertarian flash really doesn't add to our own practice, and therefore I don't know. We don't necessarily approve of those things, but yet we would respect them and also defend the people's freedom to do that.
Well, and it's the people like that, as Michael would call us, square, people like that, you know, are the ones that we as libertarians need to convince, because the, you know, libertines, as you talked about, they're mostly going to be on board. You know, all you have to do is if you can just explain, saying, yeah, you can do all that stuff that everybody disapproves of if you're a libertarian, or if we could all be libertarians, you could do all that stuff that's killing you. You know, they should be on board, but it's all the people that are kind of square that don't really do those things. I mean, you know, you got the guy who doesn't drink or only drinks, you know, a moderate amount, and doesn't cause a problem, and he's faithful to his wife, and he doesn't gamble, and, you know, he's a pretty nice guy. He gets along fine in society and doesn't really see what problem there is in going along with the state like he's always done. And I know I was that way for a long time.
But we always see, there's always something that there's always something that hits us at some point. I don't know what it was for you, but there's, you know, you gotta end up realizing that you're under a lot of coercion, even though some of the things, some of your life choices don't go against what's being forbidden for you, you know?
Well, what was it for
you?
Well, I was going to ask that for you, but I can.
Okay. No, you go first then.
Well, the thing is, it's harder for us because if we don't have a whole lot of things that where the government is really cramping our style, I mean, about the only thing that I really have to complain about with the government in terms of how it's affecting my life is all the money they steal from me. They're not really stopping me from doing the things that give me pleasure. You know what I mean? So I come at it from another angle. But I'll have to do that after we go to the market, I think.
Totally.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow.
This is Freedom Fiends, and we are back. I think, Hugo, we were talking about, you know, why people might be attracted to libertarianism, and I was talking about, from my own standpoint, I don't have the motive to be a libertarian, because many of the things that I like to do would be against the law, because they're not. And so the government doesn't hem me in that much, like I said, except when they come and steal my tax money. And, you know, they do add things on, a lot of pain in the behind stuff, like having to, you know, get licenses and that sorts of things. But in fact, it doesn't crimp my style as much as it may crimp some people's style. But if it isn't really killing you, like it isn't killing me, you have to come at it from a different angle or viewpoint. And of course, the idea of, you know, being an individual and having your rights, and everybody's seen the Gadsden flag that says, "Don't tread on me." You know, there's a flip side to that. And this is kind of more of a moral standpoint, and, you know, forgive me for coming from that standpoint, but I'm a Catholic, and so we kind of have these rules, and one of them is, say, the golden rule, you know, don't do unto others anything that you would not want them do unto you, which is just kind of the flip side of the do unto others what you'd want them to do to you. But the idea that the state is always violating other people's rights. And when you go to the polls and cast a vote, say for your local sheriff, you're literally deputizing him or hiring him to go and rob your neighbors or lock your neighbors up in a cage and that. So the whole flip side to my freedom is that you're oppressing someone else. And I kind of came at it from that standpoint, the whole idea that I have responsibilities to other people. I mean, you shouldn't cheat, you don't steal, don't hit people, don't harm other people, you know, live and let live, right? Mind your own business.
It's funny you should use that example, because we had a midterms elections here in Mexico last Sunday, and I feel so clean because I just didn't show up. And I've tried to explain to the people around me that it's a moral thing, and I'm an atheist, but still, I believe that there's good things, there's good behaviors, and bad things, and bad behavior, and it'll rests upon the principle that, you know, the law should work the same way for everybody, and there's only so many laws that can work the same way for everybody, unless you want to make a special case where you are, which is what the government does every day, you know, where the government, we can steal, we can rob, we can kidnap, but you cannot do it because you're a citizen. And I wanted to talk a little bit about my own experience with that. And I didn't take any illicit drugs, or I didn't drink in excess, or, you know, but I've always been a rebel. I rebelled against authority in my school when I was when I was about 6 years old. I was in first grade in elementary school or grammar school, whatever you want to call it, and I got called into the principal's office for making, you know, for running a business in school. I used to I noticed that there were very long lines in where kids bought candy. And I realized they were getting out for the break, and they were all running somewhere else. And then they, at some point, there was a long line there. So what I did was, I remembered to run straight for the line for the store, the candy store in there inside school. And I bought a bunch of candy, and then I went out and resold them to the other kids who weren't paying attention. And I got called into the principal's office because I was profiting at school. That was the word they use in Spanish. It was lucrar. I was profiting in school.
You were a speculator is what you were.
Yeah, I was a speculator. You know, I
a hoarder.
At some point I gained. I get an advantage. I said, you know, I cannot get distracted and run straight for the line. And I get punished for that by the school. Nevertheless, my mom stood by me. So she actually went in and said to the principal, he's done nothing wrong. And he told me, you know, you shouldn't do that again. They don't approve of that. But I understood it wasn't wrong. What I was doing wasn't wrong. So ever since that age, I always had a healthy disdain for authority, not to the point where I'd get in trouble, but yeah, healthy disdain for authority. And then, you know, this was in Venezuela. I was a young child. Then I lived there for 11 more years until I was 17. Then I moved to Mexico. And then I saw Venezuela come into this weird totalitarian communist government where people's livings were consistently made worse and worse. They put in price controls and wage controls and all the things communists do, and they expropriated industries, and they just went full on communist. So at one point I decided I had to learn how to counter argument those things, how to give these communists, these people, some of them were in my own family, and say, you know, I should learn why that's wrong. I know it's wrong, but I should learn why that's wrong. That's what led me to the ideas of liberty. And then I was an immigrant in Mexico, and, you know, I really didn't appreciate that I had to go through, to jump through all these hoops, and that I had to give them a bunch of money every year and a lot of papers and documentation. So didn't approve of that, and that just pushed me more into the ideas of liberty. That's pretty much my story, Randy. It involves no marijuana at all.
Well,
just good old
to me, like you came at it from the other direction than I did, but that's all right. You know, my point of it though is that we need to be able to bring in people from whichever viewpoint they're coming from. I mean, if somebody wants to be free, then they should join us. But if somebody wants to know what they should be doing as a matter of, you know, their fellow man, then they should also join us, because we're saying, leave him alone. You know, let him. This is the non-aggression principle, that no person, no group may initiate force against another person. That fits in very well. Well, nobody really has a whole lot of problem with that on a personal level. I mean, no Christians have trouble with it. I don't know any religions have problems with that. You don't have any trouble with it. I mean, if you put it in the right way, people can see how it's right. How it's either right for them or it's right morally from any viewpoint. And sometimes it's just impossible to get that across. But that's the reason why I feel that way.
That's probably the reason why we're feeding through the radio waves to everybody that can hear us, because we wanna give out that message.
And yeah, totally. I didn't even know if you had any belief at all, but I said I was a Catholic. You said you're an atheist. I think anybody.
Yeah, I became an atheist.
I really do.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure anybody. There's Quakers and there's atheists and agnostics. I only became an atheist about 5 years ago. I was quote unquote born a Catholic. I was born in Venezuela and then I lived in Mexico. So pretty much everybody is a nominal Catholic here. And I appreciate
you, right?
I was. But I took First Communion too. I remember, yeah, I was about 12 years old, and I have a healthy respect for Catholicism. As here in Latin America, it's some of the principles people don't take very seriously, and I don't know, it's like agora religion for me. And being an atheist, I kind of appreciate that.
But wish they had taken it more seriously.
Well, right. At some point, yeah. Yeah, I did. I did try and go for the full scale of religion. I went into some different things before I became an atheist. But the point is, you know, religion is no impediment, even if you're religious or if you're not, if you're a strong atheist or whatever you are. You know, there's something we're forgetting to say. And we want to say to the world that Obama is a socialist. He's a liar and his feet stink.
I can smell them from here, yes.
Well, from here, from Mexico City, you can smell the stink.
Well, you know, it's
although that's probably from our president.
Yes, yeah.
It's closer.
What you were saying, though, it's kind of interesting. I do run across people from time to time who would ask me, they say, I don't know how anyone who belongs, usually they're either upset with someone who belongs to the word hierarchical religion or mm-hmm. someone who believes in... you know, any religion, I guess. And then if you try to say, well, there's no problem with it, you know, I point out things like the golden rule and that. There's lots of things that are just so compatible that there shouldn't be a problem. And then finally at the end they'll say, yes, but you believe in coercion, because if somebody doesn't do what's right, in the end God sends them to hell. And I'm just doing a face slap at that point. And I'm thinking, at least could we limit our argument here to this earthly plane? You know, none of us has been...
into regular humans.
None of us has been past death. And so I'd like to, if I could hold it here, I'd like to hold the discussion there. But most people are actually very good. And I talk to people of totally different beliefs than mine, and people of no belief at all. And people in Liberty are largely pretty good about being accepting of you know, other beliefs than that. I think it's pretty neat.
Can we give a couple minutes to the Pope?
Well, sure. Let's give him a couple minutes.
Well, I was wondering, because I once listened, probably Lou Rockwell, which is a very famous libertarian and a Catholic too, that even though the Pope was wrong about the market, was wrong about politics, he didn't have full authority and infallibility in those matters. Is that, I don't know, is that something you've heard?
Yeah. I mean, that is an issue. If the Pope gets up and declares cheese to be a vile food and he doesn't think anybody should eat it, he's really just expressing a personal opinion. And if he would declare that man-made activity is causing global warming, once again, he would be totally outside his competence. And so, as Catholics, we only follow him when he's teaching moral doctrines or theology for the church, and only when he claims that he's teaching that. This other stuff, you know, he has an opinion, I have an opinion. Cool.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN. FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends! Meow, 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 like a cockatoo. The jet cockatoo here, Hugo from Mexico and Randy, England. So, Randy.
Yeah.
We were talking before about how people maybe are born rebel and how this movement attracts the rebel and the nerd. I'm a rebel and I'm a nerd. So you told us your story. I told you mine. People now know how we got into liberty. And people have different motivations for becoming libertarians or for fighting the man, fighting the state, fighting the coercion that's all around us. And which takes me to the Ghost Gunner and to Cody Wilson. And it's been we've been having this topic every so often.
One of my favorite rebels. Yes.
He is. So he's been having some trouble. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, looking at, I think this is a pretty new update that he's put up for his company, is Defense Distributed, and they make this gadget, some kind of a 1 foot cube square called a Ghost Gunner, that is a self-contained milling machine operated by your computer. And it can, I think the main use we've seen for it at this point is to take partially made and legal to buy receiver for an AR-15, and it will do the final finishing, milling, drilling holes and things that will turn it into a working receiver so that you can put all of the unregulated parts onto it and you have a real AR-15 that will shoot and will
work. And no serial number, right?
Not have a serial number. And I think about the only thing you can't do is give it away, sell it or something. But at this point, it's completely legal. And it's this super cool little black box that I think costs probably $1,500 now. And on the website, they're talking about some problems that they're running into. And that is just recently, PayPal has now refused to, saying the PayPal is now refusing to take do their payment service for them unless they paid a ransom or a reserve or something they called it, $10 million before they would be willing to process the payments through PayPal. So I guess for a price, PayPal was willing to do it, but not the way they had been. I don't know if they were nervous about that or not, but that was the one thing with the payments, and I guess that's caused a problem, and they're working their way through that for other ways to pay for these black cubes. But the other one that I also read about, and I don't think it was in this latest update, was that they also had problems with shipping because FedEx and UPS, I believe, were refusing to carry these milling machines. And their excuse, I don't know what the excuse was, like, we don't know what regulations there may be on these someday, so we won't deliver this one today.
And this is, I find it rather ridiculous, because
ridiculous.
Yeah, it does, because you know I actually have parts for a CNC machine that I bought a couple years ago from the U.S. Some the motors and the controls and some nuts and bolts.
What's a CNC?
That's computer numerical control. It's pretty much the same thing that this piece of equipment for milling. That's a drilling milling machine. So that's pretty much the same thing. The only difference is they are outright saying that these are meant for liberating yourself and making these kind of for working these AR parts. So it's just a regular milling computer controlled machine. There's hundreds of those for sale on the internet. It's just that these guys have dared to disobey or maybe be rebels about it.
Well,
so they got
the
short end of this. Yeah.
I mean, I hope they make $1 million, but I think part of the idea is just to tweak the government's nose and to say, we're going to get so much of this out there that it'll be too much and you won't be able to reel it in or do anything about it.
Everybody can do it. And when everybody can do it in the comfort of their own homes, it's just unstoppable. I think that will be either our redemption. We just keep going.
I hope so. No, you keep going. You know, it's just like crypto back in the 90s. It got away from the government, and they can't pull it back in, and I hope this one cannot be pulled back in either. Go for
Let's
it.
Hope.
Cody
Let's
Wilson
hope.
And defense.
Go, ready. Cody. Yeah. Working every day for a freer future, the Freedom Fiends. And this is all. Randy, thanks so much.
Thank
you for your service.
End of our hour.